Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Herrera. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this time to come together and to talk about a subject that is close to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us in our conversation, prepare the hearts that are going to hear this, Lord, that they would be able to accept it. And we thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. In your name, amen.
Amen. Hey, it's good to see you, Joseph.
Welcome back, Laura. It's good to see you too. Today, we have a subject that I've noticed with some clients, but also with this world that we live in, to be something worth talking about. And the word I'm going to use is inconvenience, right? Inconvenience. It's something that we don't like. And so I thought we could talk about it and see what we can do with inconvenience and how we can improve our lives. So, Laura, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it's a brilliant topic that you're bringing. And I want to go on record as saying I hate to be inconvenienced, but I'm sure that I speak for the majority of people, right? And, you know, that's a part of the problem is that we need to deal with this aspect of ourselves that hates to be inconvenienced, you know, whether we call that a pride, you know, a lack of maturity, right? The reality is you're bringing forth a subject that all of us deal with and all of us struggle with. Now, to what degree, you know, that changes person to person. But, you and I briefly talked about this before we got on here. And so, the thing is, everybody's going to deal with inconvenience. I like what you said. How are we going to deal with it? How do you deal with it?
Well, I had to learn how to deal with it first. And, okay. You know, in order to improve on something, we have to actually walk through it. So if we're going to talk about inconvenience and how it affects our lives, we have to walk through it. And I'm in my mid to late 40s. So I've had plenty of opportunities to be inconvenienced. Some of you guys today are finding out that, you know, you're being inconvenienced and you don't like it. And that's okay. We don't have to like it. But what does inconvenience do to us when it comes to relationships? When it comes to our jobs, when it comes to our family? And I find that there are clients that are moving from being inconvenienced to being resentful. Mm. And because of the resentment, they're trying to escape. They're trying to get away from being inconvenienced. So I want to tell the listener that inconvenience can actually be a friend if you allow it to. You know, I know that Laura likes to go to the gym. You know, is that a convenience or is that an inconvenience sometimes?
It can be both.
It can be both, right? Yeah. Some people, they go to the gym to work out because they need to do something to improve their physical well-being, their mental well-being, to make sure that they're not going in a bad direction. And sometimes those things can be inconvenient. Yeah. Now, other inconveniences could be your job. I have to go to work, right? It's like, yeah, if we had the option of not going to work, we would choose it. But the problem is that we like to eat. We like to have a roof over our head.
Right.
We like to buy things. And so we're willing to put up with some inconveniences. But what happens if you don't feel like there's a monetary or physical benefit. Sometimes relationships can not have any of those, and it turns into resentment.
Well, and resentment is something we always want to guard our heart against, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things is that, you know, though I did say in the beginning, you know, tongue in cheek, you know, I hate to be inconvenienced, which is still partly true, I have come to understand that inconvenience leads me to a doorway called growth, right? A doorway to deeper relationships. You know, God is so good to allow us to be inconvenienced and or interrupted. There's a little bit of a difference in both. You and I briefly talked about that. But inconvenience, interruptions actually have the ability to bring us into something deeper, more profound than what we would have experienced if we would have just went on our regular path. And I don't know if you said it on air or off, but you had mentioned, you know, that so much of the world, ourselves included, if we're not mindful, is we're as if we're on a hamster wheel. And, you know, we're just running, running, running. But the problem with the hamster wheel is you're not running anywhere, right? It's just in circles, right? It may be an upright circle, but it's still a circle. And I have seen where God has brought an interruption. He's brought an inconvenience that has not only been transformative for another person's life, but it's been transformative for mine. One thing that comes to my mind is I was heading to a wedding a couple of years ago. And if I remember correctly, I had something I was bringing to, you know, to it for them. And I'm driving to the wedding and I see this person broke down on the side of the road. Now, in those moments, right, we have this inconvenience, you know, like if I stop, then I'm late, right? It's an interruption to my schedule. People are counting on me. Well, I do remember that I pulled over. The best thing that I could offer was to make sure that they had a phone to call somebody. I don't know how to change a tire or whatever. What I remember about that encounter, and in fact, I had forgotten it, Joseph, until you and I are having this conversation, is that it didn't take but a few moments of my time. My conscience was relieved that I didn't see a problem and just ignore it because I didn't want to be interrupted. I didn't want to be inconvenienced, you know, because I had someplace I had to be. But, you know, the thing is worth saying because it's worth hearing is when God's involved, you're not going to be late anyway. Or if you're late, it's because everything else is running behind. Or if you're late and everything's running on time, God's got grace for everybody. But I remember very clearly that whatever help it is I offered, it was but just a few moments of my time. And it didn't interrupt as much as I would have originally thought so. So what did God do that day? He communicated mercy to somebody. And he taught me that I can stop. Jesus did that many times. I can stop what I'm doing. And even though it looks like I'm going to be late, God is never late. He's always on time.
Yeah. And sometimes in the Christian world, we call that divine appointments, right?
Yes.
Sometimes what we think is an inconvenience could actually be something that God orchestrated and made a divine appointment. And, you know, and we think, oh yeah, but who am I? Well, it brought to mind when, you know, when we read in the Old Testament, let's say Abraham and the Lord and two of his angels met Abraham. It's like he dropped everything, ran over to them and said, hey, come in, let me be hospitable to you. Let me feed you. Let me do all these things. How much inconvenience was there to say, allow for, you know, people who had no appointment set up to come and then you're feeding them, you're giving them water, you're being hospitable, right? We live in a different culture, but in a way it's still a beautiful thing. There's a book by Rosario Butterfield. Rosaria Butterfield, Her first name is a little hard for me, but she has a book that's really difficult for me to read. It says the gospel comes with a house key. Meaning what she does is she opens her home up to people in the neighborhood, whatever it looks like. Their home is open. Most of us, we have locks on our doors to keep people out, and for good reason.
Yes.
But it was, like I said, it's a difficult book for me to read because I see the beauty in it. I see how much it can affect people's lives. I see the inconvenience and what she taught, I don't think she talks about inconvenience as much like we are right here, but I can read between the lines in order to have a home that's open for others to come in. You have to allow for yourself to be inconvenienced. Yes. And so hospitality or checking on somebody on the side of the road. As a young man in my 20s, I would pick up hitchhikers in California. I don't recommend it. But, you know, there were times that, you know, I'd pull over and say, hey, where are you going? And so, you know, those are times to be inconvenienced. At church, sometimes we get so busy, we have somebody come talk to us and they start talking their ear off. Guess what I have to do? I have to be inconvenienced. I have a lot of, a lot of things going on. I'm juggling all sorts of things on Sunday, but somebody came over and they needed to talk. And so I have to allow for myself to be inconvenienced. So I think where I want the listener to start to understand is that inconvenience is not going to go away. The older we get, the more inconvenient we're going to find ourselves.
Yeah.
The more we're in community, the more we're going to be inconvenienced.
Yes.
If we don't want to be inconvenienced, then we're going to have to live like a hermit. The problem is that's an inconvenient way to live too.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to find a balance and we have to find the right mindset.
I like the idea of the balance because two things come to my mind. And I always like to say there's two sides of the same coin, right? And we always, it's just like even looking at the gospel, right? You want to look at the whole counsel of God, right? You don't want to pick out just one part without it being weighed in with all the rest. So being inconvenienced takes me back to a time in my life where the Holy Spirit had to rebuke me because I really, the cry of my heart, try not to laugh, okay? The cry of my heart was, Lord, use me, while the phone was ringing unanswered, okay? Lord, use me, right? That was the cry of my heart. And the Holy Spirit rightfully had to rebuke me that I was to pick up the phone because what he wanted to ultimately teach me and what I want to say to you, listener, is that it's really not in those divine appointments, especially, and you never know if it's a divine appointment, okay, until afterwards. So you can't know it going into it. But his command to me was to answer the phone. And the teaching was, Laura, did you ever stop to think they're not trying to get to you? They're trying to get to me through you. And I had not ever considered that. So now I'm put on notice and I got a phone call. One of my first phone calls that came in, didn't recognize the number. We all know how that feels. Okay. But I took it. Now this was about, well, actually it was 19 years ago. And I took it and it was a woman I had met briefly. She was a believer. She was a single mom of a young child and she was beside herself, broken up. She found out she was pregnant. Now here she is. She's unmarried. She's got a small child. She's in a church because she's a new believer. And what do you think her first thoughts were? Number one, I'm too old for this. I will be humiliated. I won't be accepted. And the Holy Spirit gave us an opportunity to have a very deep conversation that we're still having to this day. So here's a woman that wasn't my friend, who is now a lifelong friend. Here's a woman who was contemplating abortion because of the shame, the fear, the unknown, how the Holy Spirit ministered to her. And Mr. Wonderful and I were just at that sweet girl's graduation the other day from high school. She's 19 and graduated. She's a reminder to me all the time to what you're saying, Joseph. God is saying, be willing to be interrupted. Be willing to be inconvenienced, Laura, because you never know who's on the other end of that line. And so, you know, if you've listened or walked for any time with the Lord, you've seen how these interruptions have shown up again and again and again, and they have been God moments. But Joseph, and I always also want to say there's another side of that coin. And we just wanted to look at it briefly, but it is important to look at it. And that is, we must use discernment because the enemy comes to bring distraction. He comes to take our eyes off the important things. He often sends unaware people to steal away our time. In fact, there's a scripture in the book of Daniel that says the enemy, comes to wear out the saints. And if you've been in ministry any amount of time, you become at some point discerning, is this just a lot of need going on, or is the enemy trying to pull me into 100 different directions, trying to distract me? And I've seen that too. And so one morning on this side of the coin of discernment, I was getting ready. I've shared this story before, but I think it's worth sharing again. I was getting ready for work, Joseph, and I'm just making my bed. And out of the blue, the Holy Spirit teaches me that it's important that in my job that I have, that I complete my work first before I go and help another. And I thought, okay, that makes perfect sense, because I was serving the top tier of the corporation. And I realized, like, ooh, if I'm busy helping other people get their stuff done, then when, you know, the top dog asks me about my work, if I don't have it done, they don't care that I was off helping somebody else. So I understood the wisdom of it. So that morning, just as I should have suspected, I walk into work and there's a lovely coworker of mine who says, Chaplain Laura, can you help me do this, this, and this? To which I was ready to respond. I said, absolutely. As soon as I finish all of the work that I have scheduled to get done today, I promise I will call you and I will help you. That felt so good. Number one, it put a safe boundary around my time and my energy and my responsibility, but I honored my friend by letting her know that her need was important to me, but it would be done in a timely fashion. Well, I have to tell you that when I did that, I did call her later in the day because I had finished all my assignments, and it turns out that she had went ahead and got it done herself.
Yes.
You know, and so it was probably a good thing for her too. So I have experienced a few times, not that this was a distraction from the enemy at all, but I have experienced times where I've had to lift my eyes to heaven and say, Lord, like, I know that what I'm doing right now is important. Is this distraction of you? And I would have to check in with the Lord. Could I put this person off for a little bit when I felt that peace of the Lord to do that? And I put them off for a little bit with the promise, I will get back with you as soon as I'm finished here. In those times, 100% of the time, I found out that the person said, oh, no, never mind. I figured it out myself anyway. Well, that's because they went to four other people before me. Very important. I was like the fifth person. So they were going to spin their yarn because they just wanted somebody to hear them. Or because the enemy, who is sometimes on assignment to give me a bad hair day, you know what I mean? To keep me from my labor, right? So, listener, Joseph and I are saying, be willing, be ready. It's a sacred act to be willing to be inconvenienced, to be interrupted, but at the same time, pay attention, be discerning, and make sure that you're not withholding yourself just for the sake of withholding yourself, but that you're lifting your eyes to heaven when you're unsure and asking the Holy Spirit, is this a time for me to stop what I'm doing and rush into this, or to keep doing what I'm doing and let them know I'll be with them later?
Yes. I like what you're saying there, and I'm going to jump in there and add to it. Some of us have bad or no boundaries. If we don't have good boundaries, people are going to walk in and take our resources, whether it's our emotional resources, our emotional, mental, physical, monetary, whatever resource that we have, whether it's our skills. If we don't have good boundaries, people are going to take that from us. So what you said was you gave that coworker good boundaries. And one of the things my pastor taught me when I came on staff was either they're going to train you or you are going to train them. Now, I don't like to put it in that type of way, but it actually works because we have to train others on what our boundaries are. We have to train others on what's acceptable so that we are not being taken advantage of and we're not growing resentment. We have to have systems in place to allow ourselves to work within reason and also to allow ourselves to be inconvenienced. So if we have no systems and we have no boundaries, we're going to have people take advantage of us. Now, I may have a young mother right now going, yeah, how does that work for me? And true, it is a different type of scenario because you're working with cavemen who are barely able to communicate, that are tiny terrorists that want to that want everything their way and right away, but you still have to apply the same things. You know, teach them boundaries. Vitamin N yes. is very important. You know, they can dish it, but they can't take it. They need to learn how to take a no. So vitamin yes. N is very important. Being able to tell them no in love, being able to not give in to their terrorist tactics, because they have nothing to lose. They're going to keep pressing and poking and prodding until you give up. And because one thing has happened is they've learned that from you. If you give in to them, they know that after a certain amount of time, they're going to get their way. So don't give in. Keep good boundaries, be able to dish out the no. They're really good about dishing it out to you. So at the same time, you need to dish it back to them and allow them to take their medicine. The other, training them or they will train you. And children are learning. They're very smart. They'll train yes. a parent. Before you know it, you look and you're like, what are they doing over there? Oh, we have to do this or else my child will get upset. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. I'm okay with children being upset. Because if our goal is to not make them upset, when they get into the real world, what are they going to do when they get upset? Yes. What's going to happen? They have to learn to be upset. They have to learn to be okay with it. They have to learn that a no is okay. But if you tell a child no and they throw a temper tantrum, I usually sit there and watch. I get out the popcorn. I'm like, yeah, see how long he can do this for. Right. Or you walk away and they're like, well, this is unproductive. But we have to train them. We have to be inconvenienced, because if we don't take care of this right away, that inconvenience is going to stay with us, because once they become a young child in elementary school, or they're a teenager or whatever that looks like, and you're afraid of them getting upset and they are terrorizing the household, and you're at your wit's end because you're trying to perform, trying to keep them happy, you're going to fight a battle you will always lose. You'll never win. And so as a young mother, as a young father, boundaries are good. No is good. Being able to train them is good. So the other thing I want to hit on, actually, what are your thoughts on that before I go on to?
Well, that was helpful. I was thinking about when I was a young mom, there was a definition that I adopted that was helpful for me, and I'm going to share it with the listener, which is, what is the difference between disciplining your children and punishing your children? Because you're absolutely right. Our children need boundaries. They crave boundaries, actually, right? They crave them. They need them more than they could ever imagine. It doesn't feel good in the moment, but it is a good training for them. But the difference between discipline and punishment that I kept in my heart when it came to me and my children was, discipline is what I do for the good of my child. So I discipline them, you know, whether that includes spanking, whether that, you know, it's timeouts, whatever it is, it's always for the good of the child. It's to get their attention for their good, you know, to stop them from running out in a road and getting harmed. Everything is about, this discipline is for your good. The difference with punishment is, it's where a parent does it to vent their own frustration. And when that happens, it's really not for the child's good. It's for the parents venting and anger, lashing out. And so what could be discipline and could be good and holy, even if it's the same form of discipline, when it's punishment, it becomes cruel. It becomes where a child doesn't trust the parent, versus vice versa, where when we discipline our children because it's what's good for them, and we do it in a way that is honoring and respectful even to their young psyches, right? They grow up and they remember those, and they thank you for correcting them, you know, when they were young. So they, just the whole thought of you saying, yes, our children need to hear no. They need to be inconvenienced with a no, if it's proper for them.
Yeah. Something came to mind while you were talking, and when the phrase, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, that actually kind of applies, right? I have for the good being inconvenienced. Okay. We need to take the mindset that being inconvenienced is actually good. Because what it does is it keeps us from being selfish.
Yes.
It allows for us to be giving, nurturing, with the right mindset. Okay. The bad is giving up. Okay. So the good is being inconvenienced. The bad is giving up and being like, I don't care. I'm going to let everybody kind of do whatever they want, blah, blah, blah. And the ugly is being a martyr.
Oof.
We have people that are doing it, but they're playing the martyr.
Yes.
I do this for everyone. I'm trying to keep everyone happy. This is, you know, and it's like, stop. That's ugly. Don't be a martyr. That's a terrible mindset, because it's also manipulative. Mm-hmm. Done in the wrong way, this is a manipulation tactic, because what it is, it's like, oh, I'm going to do this for you, but I'm inconvenienced. And it's like, oh, cry me a river. I don't care. You know? Or it's like, yeah, you deserve it. It's like, if you really want to play the martyr, I'm going to say, yeah, give you a pat on the back. Yeah, keep being the martyr. You deserve it. And in reality, what we have to do is we have to have the right mindset. We have to have the right heart. You know, God didn't call us to play a martyr. You know, he called us to give our life up for him.
Amen.
He called us to give ourselves away, not to not to manipulate, not to give up on life. But if we embrace inconvenience, if we allow it to play a part in our life, then what we end up doing is we're going to the gym. We're working out.
Yeah.
You know, the inconvenient part is pumping the iron because it's painful. It sucks. It's not fun.
Yes.
And being inconvenienced is being on the treadmill because we feel like we're not going anywhere. But what we're doing is we're training our body. We're training our body for hard things, whether it's cardiovascular, whether it's building up muscles. And instead, we can be inconvenienced and we can have inconvenient times and still have joy, still have peace, and be a lovely person.
Yeah.
So we have to start to change our mindset and say, I need to be inconvenienced. Yes. Do I like it? No. I mean, I did soccer for 4 years in high school. I hated running, but you know what? It was good. It made me a better person. Mm-hmm. We have to do the same thing with inconvenience.
Yeah. Those are such great truths, you know. Well, I was thinking if there were some takeaways I wanted to leave with the listener, one of them was centered around exactly what you said. And it was that inconvenience keeps us from being rigid, prideful, and entitled. And we do, if we're not careful, we have this sense, back to what you were saying, Joseph, as if we're supposed to be served rather than saved by grace, you know, through faith in Jesus Christ to serve, right? We're called to serve. And serving happens unexpectedly. I like what you said, be prepared, look for opportunities to be inconvenienced. I think that's a weird saying, and I think it's a great one for us to adopt. What that could look like is, you know, every day for every one of us to get into the habit of calling somebody and asking, how can I best help you today? What do you need from me today? You know, those questions go unasked, therefore they go unanswered. And sometimes, you know, people will say, there isn't anything at this time, which can then be followed up, you know, do you promise to let me know when there is? And then sometimes there is a person says, oh my gosh, I can't believe you asked me that. And then they'll tell you what they don't have. They got no way to go get the pack of diapers from the store because their car is in the shop. It could be anything. But again, these become divine moments where God is working to meet people's needs. But God meets people's needs through other people. And so we become those people who become, quote unquote, inconvenienced, but are really blessed because we are the hands and feet through which the Holy Spirit is getting a person's need met. So that's one thing I wanted to leave with the listener. And the second thing is, it's a simple prayer. I read it in a book by one of my newest favorite authors. His name is Richard Paul Evans. He's not a Christian writer per se, though I think he is a Christian. He seems to work, you know, scripture and themes through his book. But his books are so simple. They're just so simple, everyday books, and I just enjoy them. But he had this phrase in his book the other day that I read, and I just thought it was so lovely. And it goes like this: Heavenly Father, use me to help one of your children today. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, Joseph, when I read that, it was just such a simple prayer out of a fictional character's mouth. I was like, that is so simple, but that is so beautiful. And so this has begun to be, maybe I'm always ready to serve the Lord, but I just love that simplicity of intentionally saying, Heavenly Father, use me today to help one of your children. So that's what I would want to leave the listener with.
I love it. I want to use both a pop culture reference and a biblical reference. The pop culture reference that I'm going to use is from the Avengers movies, and you have the Incredible Hulk. Now, if you guys have followed who the Incredible Hulk is, it's a guy who, you know, he had radiation hit him, and then he turns into this great beast of a man when he gets angry. And I remember the 1970s Incredible Hulk, and he, whenever somebody had his hand around his neck, he goes, "You're making me angry," right? And then he would turn into the Hulk. Actually, 1970s, 1980s, right around that time frame.
Yeah.
Always stuck in my mind. And then in the new Avenger movies, they would have the character of Bruce Bannon that Bruce Banner? Banner.
Banyan? Something like that.
I think it's something like that, yeah. Where, you know, the characters would be poking at him and seeing if the Hulk was going to pop out. And just like kept poking and prodding. And then finally, when it was time to go into battle and they were going to fight, Bruce turned to them. He goes, do you want to know how I keep the Hulk under control? He goes, I'm angry all the time.
Ooh.
And then he goes and turns into the Hulk. And I thought that was a great line. And it kind of applies to us today. Because, you know, we can be inconvenienced, and, you know, when somebody's inconvenienced and they're not ready for it, anger pops out. They mm-hmm. burst, they kind of go into this, I need to get away, or I'm angry, blah, 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 whatever that looks like. When in reality, what we have to do is we have to live that lifestyle of being inconvenienced. So that when it happens, we're not angry. We're not, you know, lashing out at people. And it's a mindset. It's a way of saying, I need to be inconvenienced. I need to be okay with it. Because there is no escaping in this life being inconvenienced. So we have to embrace it. We have to change the way we think. We have to change our mindset. We have to allow it not to be something that we're avoiding, but something that we're embracing. The biblical reference is Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ inconvenienced himself by coming to this earth, walking amongst the people, healing them, teaching them, feeding them, allowing them to touch and poke and prod him to the point of the cross and the pain and the suffering that he went through, the inconvenience that he had because of his love for us. Amen. And so he took inconvenience and he placed love in that spot, so that he could pour out onto us the ability to have a relationship, to take away our punishment. And so the creator of our universe, the creator of our soul, the one who put the clouds in the sky, the stars in motion, inconvenienced himself so that we could have a relationship with him. And so I love the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. So, listener, those that are viewing on YouTube, I want you to embrace inconvenience. Don't look at it as the enemy. You need good boundaries. You need to have systems in place. You need to train others so that they're not training you. And then use Christ as your example so that his love is pouring out through you and you're ministering to others, whether they're tiny terrorists or whether they're people at work that you're having struggles with. And you're not playing the martyr. You're not playing the victim. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants to be around somebody who's playing the victim, who's being a martyr. They would much rather deal with other people. But don't give up. You have the ability to take what you hate and embrace it and make it something that makes you better. So if you're struggling, reach out to us. If you're if you need help, whether it's with boundaries, whether you're needing systems, being able to tell people no, guess what? We're there. We can do it. We don't have the emotional ties with whoever you're struggling with to be able to give you good advice. So reach out to us. You could go to our website, go onto our consult page, fill it out, and we'll reach out to you. But also, if you're not working or walking with people who are going to encourage you every single day, every single week, if you're not part of a church, you need to find one. Find a Bible-believing church that you can be a part of. It's part of being inconvenienced. A lot of us want to sleep in on Sundays, but it's a chance to go work out. Some of us go to the gym to work out. Guess what? We need a spiritual workout too. We need an emotional, societal workout, even on Sundays, and allow ourselves to be inconvenienced so that we can help others along the way.
So good. Thank you for that, Joseph.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.